Hello everyone, this is Wicked Sub, and today I'm going to be doing Rubber Foals Mama Didn't Raise No Foal questionnaire. Question number one, how did you find out about GWA? I love this question. I like to ask people this question if I get a PM or a comment that says, oh, I just stumbled upon GWA. Out of curiosity, I like to ask people how they found us. Unfortunately, my answer to this question is I don't remember. It's possible I was just Googling and found GWA. There's also a big possibility that I found it through another subreddit sidebar that may have been through Dirty Pen Pals, possibly. It's also possible that I found out through a Literotica audio poster called Spurious. Now, he has a few different usernames out there, Spurious UK, Libidinous UK, and when I knew him on Literotica, he also posted on GWA, but I didn't know what that was at the time. But I do remember finding his Soundgasm page, and he had posts that said something to the effect of, you know, this AMA is for GWA or something like that. And at the time, I didn't know what GWA meant. So it's possible that maybe I was Googling him and found GWA that way, but unfortunately, I just don't remember. Question number two. At some stage, you made the transition from listener to creator. Do you remember what prompted this? Well, so I started on GWA as a lurker for, I'm not quite sure, a few months, I think. And then I finally made an account in February of 2014, simply so that I could comment and upvote and, you know, just leave feedback and all that. And within that same month, I actually verified. And then a couple days later, I think it was, I made my first actual post, which was a masturbation post. I don't really know what prompted it. To me, it's strange because I don't consider myself an exhibitionist at all. So GWA in general, or I should say me posting on GWA, to me seems really out of character. It doesn't seem like something I would ever do. So I don't know. It's just, it's strange. I don't know. I feel like if, you know, a few years ago, somebody told me, you know, somebody from the future went back to the past and told me, hey, you're going to be recording and posting audio porn for people to listen to, I would have been like, what the fuck are you talking about? You have me confused with someone else. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just sort of wanted to experiment. I don't know. It's so strange. It really is. I mean, I'm very, very glad that I decided to start posting. And, you know, it's been really life-changing for me in a you know, very positive way. So I don't regret doing it. It's still just something that I think about and shake my head because I'm just at a loss. Question number three. For you, what makes audio erotica so appealing? A few things. From a listener's standpoint, I enjoy audio because I can put myself in the situation. I feel like with audio, it can be a little more personal versus, for instance, video porn, where you're sort of taken out of it and you're watching people do sexy stuff and you're not really involved, if that makes sense. I think with audio, a lot of times, or at least I think, at least with the audios I listen to usually, there's kind of a level of participation sometimes, depending on the audio, but I really enjoy the ones where the performer is asking the listener to say something to them, you know, say yes, sir, or I don't know, something like that, just as an example. But when it really involves me, like I said, as a listener, it's really hot. It's a big turn on. It really is. And then vice versa, coming from a performer's standpoint, I enjoy doing that as well. I enjoy creating something where the listener can be involved in some way. Obviously, not all of my audios are that way, but, you know, some of them are. The other thing I will say that really appeals to me is more of the creative expression, acting, script, performing side of it, which when I first started wasn't really something I was expecting to enjoy. And I don't think I really thought, oh, I'm going to use GWA to, you know, perhaps push my boundaries, get out of my comfort zone, maybe try to quote unquote act, that sort of thing. But that certainly turned out to be a big part of it for me now. And I really, really enjoy that. I love, and forgive me because I've said this before, but I love that GWA is a open and welcoming and safe place for me to experiment and for me to explore my sexuality. It's such an asset for me, and I really, really enjoy it. And I'm so fucking thankful that I have GWA for that purpose, because, like I said, it's really been enlightening and life-changing, and I know that sounds fucking corny, so let's go on to the next question. Question number 4. Have you learned anything new about your own sexuality since discovering GWA? Yes, most definitely I have. The big one that comes to mind first is I learned I was a switch. I mean, I don't even think I knew what a switch was when I found GWA. I've learned a lot, guys, a lot. But, you know, at the time when I first found it, I considered myself a submissive, hence the username. And I think I pretty quickly learned, oh, okay, this whole femdom thing, this is interesting. I can get behind this. And that's not to say that I'm 50-50 with dom and sub, because I'm not. I definitely still lean more towards the submissive side of things, but I do consider myself a switch now. I, you know, it's rare, but there are times that I do get in a dominant mood, so that's a big one. I think also in general, it's sort of helped me learn a lot more about kinks that I already enjoyed, especially just BDSM in general. I've learned a huge amount through GWA and actually other subreddits too, and actually through people I've met on GWA. So yeah, that's been really, really educational. And so I think another one is probably spanking, although I was always interested in it, but through GWA, I really explored that a lot more and learned that, yes, I do, in fact, enjoy spanking quite a lot. Question number 5. Do you have a GWA idol? Yeah, I would certainly say there are people that I really look up to on GWA. I don't want to name any names because I feel like I would forget someone and then I'd feel really bad. But yeah, there are certainly people that I look up to that are so talented, and I want to learn, you know, how do they do these lovely things, and oh my God, and oh God, like oral sound effects, like, man, that shit's hard. I have a big respect for people, especially people that can do like pussy eating sound effects really well, because damn, that's hard, or at least it is for me. So yeah, big respect for those of you out there that can pull that off. But yes, like I said, certainly there are people that I look up to and that perhaps intimidate me a little bit. I will say that's certainly gotten a lot better You know, when I first started out on GWA, oh my God, I was so shy and so intimidated, you know, especially by the, you know, really big popular posters. And that has gotten better, thankfully, because eventually, for me anyway, I realized, oh, right, they're just regular people like the rest of us. There's no need to idolize them in like a celebrity way, if that makes sense. So that's helpful, at least for me, to kind of calm me down and realize, oh, okay, just calm your tits, because these people are just normal people like you. I was gonna say normal weirdos, and I thought, well, that's kind of mean. I'm calling myself a weirdo here, guys, not you. Oh, Jesus. Okay, next question. Question number 6. Performers, tell me about the environment that you record in. So I generally record in my bedroom because it doesn't have as much of an echo as the rest of the house. So the bathrooms, the kitchen, the living room, those all have a pretty significant echo. And my bedroom is a lot better. So I will usually record either on my bed with my mic on top of my nightstand, or if it's sort of more just a script or something like this where I'm just chatting and not touching myself, I will put my mic on a shelf on my nightstand and then sit on the floor. And there have been other audios where I've sat on my floor and put the mic on the floor, and, you know, and there have also been other audios where I've purposely record them in, you know, the kitchen or the living room or the bathroom because I wanted it to sound a certain way or out of necessity. So yeah, but in general, I do record in my bedroom. Question number 7. Performers, has anyone in your real life ever remarked that you have a sexy voice? I don't think so. Granted, I don't have a great memory, but no, I don't think anyone has. Not that I can recall. Question number 8. What do you feel is your most underappreciated, overlooked, or underrated work? So I kind of want to answer this question in question number 9, which is, have you ever had an idea for an audio that you thought was really amazing, but you couldn't pull it off because it was too ambitious or not viable for the audio erotica format? So I want to give a shout out to this massive collab I was in a while ago called The Carnival. And I don't want to lump it into question number 8 and say that it was underappreciated or overlooked or underrated, because I don't think that it was. But I feel like it really deserves a listen. I actually re-listened to it recently, and it's so fucking entertaining. And so, yeah, I just want to give a shout out to that collab and to everyone that worked on that. And I know it was such a massive project, and I just want to give it a little love. And that also ties into part of my answer for question number 9, which I would love to do another audio like The Carnival, something huge and multi-part and, you know, something like a radio play, basically. It doesn't even have to have sexual content in it. I'm fine with it either way. But it is such an ambitious idea, and I don't have any specific ideas in mind as far as something I would want to do for another radio play type thing. I just know that I would love to do it again. So I have another answer for question number 9. A friend of mine gave me an idea for a rape audio that happens outside. Now, immediately, I start thinking about sound effects and ambiance and all that, because I really enjoy that part of audio making. So, you know, my brain's reeling and I'm thinking, okay, so I want to have the sound effects of, you know, feet movement and struggling against the ground. And I was thinking, oh, I'll record this outside in my backyard because it will sound, you know, even more authentic, because I'll be recording it literally outside and not have to, you know, add in, you know, outdoor background noise after the fact, right? And so I'm brainstorming, I'm thinking this over, and then, I realize, oh wait, I can't record a rape audio outside because my neighbors are going to hear me, and that's so completely inappropriate and wrong on so many levels. So I guess that, I don't know if that really, it's not really too ambitious. It's just more, I'm a perfectionist. I want things to sound as real as they can, but I get a little ahead of myself. I get a little carried away. So yeah, that's an example of something. I do have to wonder though, if my neighbors have heard me anyway, even when I've recorded with all my windows closed. I do wonder that from time to time. But yeah, I don't think I'll be recording a rape audio outside with, lots of struggling and crying and screaming because, yeah, I've got neighbors and there's kids, a lot of kids in my neighborhood. No, bad. Question number 10. What function does GWA and your GWA persona have in your sex life? Does it allow you to fantasize about things that you would never / could never do in your real life? Or is it just a natural representation of who you are sexually? I think for the most part, it's just a natural representation of who I am sexually. Now, granted, I have done a few audios with kinks aren't necessarily my favorite, but I wanted to do those to push my boundaries and get out of my comfort zone and try something new. Again, going back to why I love GWA, because it provides a safe and accepting and open environment to do that. But for the most part, the majority of my audios are things that I love and that turn me on and yes. So I would say, for the most part, it's a natural representation of who I am sexually. Question number 11. Tell me about the comment or PM that made your day / week / year. This question for me is really impossible to answer. I've gotten such lovely feedback, and I really do appreciate all of the comments and PMs and upvotes and listens and everything. It really, really does mean a lot. So thank you to those of you that leave feedback for others, because I'm just going to speak for everyone and say that we really, really do appreciate it. So thank you, Rubber Foal, for posting this questionnaire, and thank you everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed.